Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Curry quotes that matter. We're going to get to them. Trey Lance hype. We're going to get to it. A baseball play you probably never seen with your own two eyes, but we saw it last night. We're going to get to all of that. But how do you start your day? Well, if you're Dan Campbell, head coach of the Detroit Lions, here is how you start your day. Dan, what's your coffee
venti
order?
I go to, you know, Starbucks to get two venti of the pipe with two shots in them. So black eye in both. That's what I come in with. That's how I start the day. So
if Dan Campbell were a coffee order, he would be that coffee order. Notice what he said there. Can you play it again, please, so everyone can follow along with this? It sounds like he's got two coffees with a couple shots of espresso. Oh, no, it's bigger than that.
I'll get two venti. I go to, you know, Starbucks. I get two venti of the pipe with two shots in them. So black eye in both. That's what I come in with. That's how I start the day. So
two ventis. So he's coming in with 40 ounces of coffee. And if you're keeping score at home, Math Kolsky, check this for me. That's four shots of espresso in two 20-ounce coffees, which means we have basically liquid cocaine coursing throughout a man who wants knees bitten in practice. It makes an awful lot of sense.
We're going to bite a kneecap off. We're going to take your other kneecap.
By the standard coffee measurement, where 8 ounces of coffee is a cup of coffee, you know, since 8 ounces is a cup, he's having 9 cups of coffee per morning, essentially. If we count each shot as an additional cup.
Adding the espresso. That's monstrous. That's
which, look, I'm not going to lie. In my youth, there were days that I had 9 cup of coffee days, you know, often after long nights. But to have that be your standard at 50 or whatever he is, it shows remarkable physical fortitude, among other things.
What does it feel like?
It shows me that he's a lab rat. If you're actually drinking that much coffee, I mean, your innards are basically tar at this point. I don't know that he fulfills his contract. Between eating people's patellas and drinking straight out of the pot with paint in it, I don't get it.
All I can tell you is that coffee order is going 11-7 in an 18-game NFL schedule. I don't know if the Lions are, but that's an 11-7 coffee order. Good luck. Good luck, Lions. We will be monitoring this team closely. They are an adopted curiosity. This coming
NFL season. They're 5-12 because nobody can sleep.
They might be. Look, who knows? You don't go to sleep because all you do is win and drink coffee. Let's find out. Motor oil level coffee for the Motor City. I needed to get that on the show today. No wonder why you're biting kneecaps.
He's a joy. We've got to appreciate this. Because so far, while being the human embodiment of maximum football, he's not been a jerk or, you know, like such a Neanderthal that it's upsetting or anything. He's just been just crazy enough to be wildly entertaining and also seem like he's in many ways, a normal football coach. Like, this guy is a gem, and I kind of hope he's good. Although, you know, it is the Lions. I kind of hope he's good so we can keep seeing it for a long time.
You know, what do we say? Like, modern throwbacks? Like, that's what people are looking for in their jerseys and their alt jerseys these days. Dan Campbell is a modern throwback, and let's just admit it. We absolutely did not appreciate the Jim Tom Sula era for the mastery that it was. We missed it. It was right underneath our nose. One of the greatest moments we were ever going to have, and we were just angry at it. And let's enjoy Dan Campbell. I don't care where it ends. I'm just glad we're on this journey together. I mean, that's the official position I'm taking on Dan Campbell.
It's easy to be a cartoon character in August. Let's see how he is in October.
Fair.
Because
that's fair.
Because he can be as wacky as he wants now and as entertaining as he wants to be now, and fine, I'm all for it. But when they're 1-5 and heading for Green Bay, let's see how damn jolly he is then.
See, here's the thing. But the Lions are always 1-5 heading to Green Bay. I mean, it's not his fault. Even if it is his fault, it's not his fault. It's beautiful.
But he's going to react the same way that Matt Patricia did, which is to bite the head off a whippet and then get fired in a year and a half.
No,
because it's the Lions.
Matt Patricia didn't give one single entertaining soundbite in his entire coaching career, pre, during, or post-Detroit Lions. So that's the whole point. He's nothing like Matt Patricia, and thank goodness.
Forget
the
Super Bowl.
The same is my point.
Forget the Super Bowl. Ray, have fun. Forget the Super Bowl. I would put Dan Campbell on pay-per-view. I would be more interested than that, maybe than paying for the Super Bowl. Here's something
God,
that I never...
God, I wish they were Hard Knocks. Just made me wish they were Hard Knocks.
They should have been Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
They absolutely should have been.
Maybe next year.
We can only dream. Look at it this way. If I'm a casting director, I see a star in the making.
Amen.
And what do you got to do? You got to miss the playoffs to get in it?
Well, it's his first year, so they could have.
Exactly. We'll find out together. So, here's something that in the history of Major League Baseball, I've never seen, I didn't even really know about. I didn't think any rules were being broken. But what do I know? I've only watched like 30,000 innings of Major League Baseball, and I saw something last night I had never really seen before. Here it is.
Two down in the inning. Here is Asdrubal Cabrera, the veteran. He struck out his first time in the dirt and blocked by Casale. Wait a minute. Is he saying he took the mask off and used it to stop the ball?
That's exactly what he's saying. It's illegal. You can't do it. And they just cost him two increments of 90 feet. Now, Casale's pleading his case right here, and it's going to get Gabe Kapler over here in this conversation. Watch as the ball goes down the dirt, and he takes his mask off. Yep, can't do that. He's absolutely guilty of it. Cannot stop the flow of that ball with your mask.
The Hall of Famer was on it. The Big Righty was on it. And I had never heard of that before. It wasn't like he was even really making a play. Have you ever like just kind of trapped a mouse in a glass because you got lucky and you were just able to do that? Like he was just kind of corralling.
No.
He was just kind of I did it once in my life and I thought those were the fastest hands in the West right there. I did it. I actually caught a mouse underneath a water glass once. I was like, honey, come here. You're never going to believe what I did.
did you just admit that you're a psychopath?
No, but I found a way to catch a mouse once one night when I saw one mouse and I grabbed a glass and I'm like, I think I'm going to do this. And boom, I snuck up on him just enough. You got to approach it from the rear.
That's a humane way of getting a mouse out of your house, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing psychopathic about the psychopathic.
We don't know
thing
what he did with it after he caught it.
Yeah. I put it in a cup of coffee with four shots of espresso.
So in other words, you set the mouse on fire.
My wife handles all rodent disposal in our household. She's the man of the house.
Very nice. So when it comes to any like home repair, my wife is definitely the man of the house. Like the toolbox that we own literally says Mrs. Bruce on it.
Yeah, I do repairs. I do bugs. But anything in the animal kingdom and not the insect kingdom goes to Joey.
Yeah, I'm involved in all varmint repellent, spider killing, and garbage and recycling. Those are like basically my household chores. I nail it. I'm going to tell you, I nail it. I don't have much to do, but I do it well.
Hey, both of us, limited purviews, but we excel in our small boxes.
Thank you. Look, check the boxes, baby. Check the boxes. Steph Curry says they're checking the boxes that matter to me. I'm glad we're checking the boxes that matter back at home. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah. Kurt Casale has a ball that's not even really squirting away from him, but he just puts his catcher's mask on it to just calm it down and corral it, and it's 90 feet. It was described in the moment as a catcher's balk, which is the incorrect way to describe it. It is technically a violation of detached equipment. I've never heard that phrase until today when they corrected what it was not supposed to be called, which we said was a catcher's balk. Last night, a violation of detached equipment. Okay.
It's the weirdest name for a rule I've ever seen. Also, I have news. Per beat writers, Kerry Crowley and Andrew Baggerly, whose tweet I will read, Kapler says DeSclafani still had good arm speed and velocity in his last outing. This is a designated as a one-start thing to freshen him up. He threw only 30 innings last season, which is something to keep in mind. So it is just a, you know what, big workload, a lot of pressure, big month coming up. Let's take a quick break and get you reset.
There you go. You deserve a break today.
It's load management.
It is load management. And also load management for Chris Bryant. It is a regular day off for him.
So, Damon, are you telling me, 510, that you couldn't catch a fly ball with your cup either? I'm guessing you were looking to spell cap, not cup, because if you could catch a ball with your cup, I mean, you're risking so much. But if
how does that work?
Yeah.
you spent the moments between pitches digging into your pants is what I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hopefully you took it off first.
I'm guessing you're talking about the cap, which is what Gina Davis in A League of Their Own. That is a violation of said rule. Maybe
illegal.
Not in the movie. Maybe not
the movie
in the movie.
The movie was a lie.
All movies
it's a great
are
movie.
Lies.
It's a great movie.
All movies are lies is the most Ray Ratto take I think I've heard in a while. And I talk to Ray almost every day.
All movies are lies. What? The Wizard of Oz. It's a lie!
I mean, he's not
if it's
wrong.
Not a documentary, it's a lie.
Yeah, it's just a weird way of looking at the world, but it's not incorrect.
Thank you. I was going to smack at you, but it is in fact correct. Whether it's weird or not doesn't bother me.
Oh, boy. By the way, I can confirm that when you go to your DVR and pull up the ESPNU recording of Warriors Summer League, both Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga will be on the basketball floor, ladies and gentlemen.
That's the truth.
I've been tracking each possession for Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga, in case you want that at some point.
Are we going, are they Hall of Famers? I mean, are they first
yeah,
ballot Hall of Famers?
A little up and down, you know, a little good, a little bad. Take some, you leave some, you know.
But it's early.
Way early. I think
way
we're like
early.
5 minutes in.
By the way, little correction from the text line. Texter was not asking about a cap. He was asking about the jock strap, and I'm sorry we cannot answer that question for you. But
yes,
it feels
we
illegal.
Can. It's a detached piece of the equipment, and you can't use it to catch a ball.
Again, if you took it off. If you kept it on, that is both impressive and potentially legal.
I'm not sure what to do with my hands.
It reminds me of the song Detachable Penis.
So many things remind me of that song. It's unbelievable. I am shocked at how often I am reminded of that classic by the surprisingly experimental rock band King Missile.
What are you talking about?
That's a great
no, it's
idea.
Real.
I mean, I'm impressed that you, the amount of people who have, yes, heard of that song, but no, could not name the band. That's almost the Venn diagram's almost a perfect circle. Matt Kolsky, what value you provide to the show? Some days we do not know, but today we do know. We absolutely understand your intrinsic value to this show. What a call!
If nothing else, I think I have proved that I do, in fact, think of that song more than anyone else in the world. And I don't know what that says about me, but it's a hilarious and bizarre song. And that band, I've read about it because of how often I think of it. And that band, like, in many ways, that song ruined their career because they were sort of an underground experimental rock band. And that became a huge radio single that then people had this picture of them as the detachable penis band, but they were like artists or something.
Right. You know, that's the thing. Like, they got Dr. Demento'd. They got figured as the goofy band that they were only about detachable body parts when there was so much more to King Missile.
It's like, what would have happened to Talking Heads if they had been known only for Psycho Killer?
Right. Yeah. Similar.
Yeah, pigeonholed as a narrative type of drama band. But yeah, thank you. Talking Heads, I don't want to say arguably, because you can argue about anything. We prove that every day for 4 hours. But as great of an American rock band that has ever been formed, and I'm glad we got that on the show today. I really, really am. Detachable penis. So again, I think about it way too much myself, but now I know chimps, so like us, I'm not alone. I'm not alone.
Oh man. It's a really bizarre song. If you've never heard it, I highly recommend spending some time with YouTube in like 40 minutes.
I got completely naked.
So let's get back to what we're here to talk about, which is not, can you field that ball with your jock strap? Although impressive if you can. Apparently, if you could do that, Trey Lance might have done that down at practice already. That is how extraordinarily over the top the reviews have been, not just from media members, not just from excited fans walking out of training camp, not just from our own morning show, which I know is head over heels in love already with Trey Lance. And look, I have not watched yet. You have not watched yet. We have not seen it. And so we are not 100% not going to tell you about something we haven't seen with our own eyes. But we'll see it soon enough in what might be the most anticipated, highest-rated preseason 49ers broadcast of all time. Their first preseason game is against the Kansas City Chiefs. And that opening drive might be Mahomes versus Garoppolo. The second drive of the game will be, who cares about the Chiefs? Let's see Trey Lance. And then however long Trey Lance is in there is going to be the most scrutinized preseason snap count you will ever see this team go through in your life. They're going to break down Trey Lance's game one, drive one preseason debut like it's Zapruder film. They are going to look it up, kids. They are going to study this. We are going to dissect it and look at it so many different ways. And it might be the single most, I'm not even kidding, watched preseason game in the history of the 49ers. Like, that's not something I was expecting, but that's where we are with this now. And when you listen to coaches who we know use preseason media moments to either tamp down or raise expectations, when you listen to the way that the 49ers are talking about this young man, here is their offensive coordinator, Mike McDaniel, and look, we all know that it's Shanahan's offense, but the offensive coordinator is Mike McDaniel, and Mike McDaniel tells you that Trey is already conducting business early in his career like he's been around the block once or twice.
There's an element of confidence that is unique. I wouldn't say he's loud or boisterous. He has a confident swag that I think really appeals to players. He knows the pressure that's on him like any other player. So he really is really comfortable in his own skin, I'd say. And he's getting to the point where he can correct other players, which from a coach's perspective is all you're looking for. You want a coach on the field person that a receiver is going to listen to much more than a coach is the guy that's throwing him the ball.
You don't often hear second quarterbacks, QB2s, who are rookies, who didn't play with any real level of collegiate pedigree, no disrespect, North Dakota State, get reviews like that from offensive coordinators who are the most detailed dudes in the room. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo being this team's on-field coach is how Jimmy Garoppolo lives an extra day beyond his actual expiration date. If Lance is there this early, it's just another reason why that object in the rearview mirror continues to get closer. Before we go, Ray and Matt, this is from D'Amico Ryans, who was talking about how, defending Trey Lance is a level of different that keeps this defense on its toes.
Is it fun? Hell yeah, they're getting a lot of good work, a lot of good looks, and he's stressing them out a lot, but... You know, he definitely causes off defenses a lot of problems. So good thing to have him on our side.
Glowing reviews by players, veterans, media members, fans, and his own coaches so far. The Trey Lance wick is burning closer now to exploding than I thought it would. I knew it was going to be a rush to anoint him, but I didn't think it was even going to happen this fast. Knowing how quickly everyone reacts to everything these days, I didn't even think it was going to be like this. Something's going on in Santa Clara that is worth monitoring.
Always going to be monitored no matter what. I mean, we knew that. It's just, like I said, it's day four. I'll wait till day 30 or 45. I mean, good that people want to rave about him. I don't think it's got any relevance. And I know that you guys do, and I'm okay with that. I just don't. I don't believe that anything that is said during training camp has any bearing on anything.
But Ray, you didn't believe in the Niners when they were going to a Super Bowl. Would they start like 11?
No, I didn't believe in them last year either.
And you were, you're never going to believe in him, I guess, is the point. You probably didn't believe in Joe Montana. You probably didn't believe in Steve Young. You probably didn't believe in Bill Walsh. You probably didn't believe in Jim Harbaugh fixing things when he got here. Like, the amount of things you don't believe in is everything.
Well, but like, I guess, look, hold on, look, one second. Because, I at a certain level, I understand your point, Ray. Like, training camp is just training camp, and that's fine. And certainly there have been plenty. I mean, I remember the Kyle Bowler raves that happened at one point in the NFL. I remember a fan base and media people crowing about Cade McNown, for God's sakes. Like, mistakes have been made. I get that part of it. I guess what I don't get is, what was it like when it was Joe Montana? And was it not like this?
Like, it was nothing like this because Joe Montana sat and, was given a year to watch Steve DeBerg. And so by the time they moved from Steve DeBerg, you had seen enough of Montana and enough of DeBerg that change was going to have to be made. You know, not everybody
was. That's what I'm saying, right? So you weren't seeing Montana in the games, right? You were seeing him largely in practice. And so was there not like a were beat writers at that time saying, man, this kid they got in reserve is too good to stay on the bench. They're going to have to get him out there.
No, what they were saying was, and, I sat next to Ira Miller and listened to him say it, says, he's going to play pretty soon, but nobody started projecting when, and because they understood that, coaches were very reluctant to start a rookie unless it was a guy they picked first. And Montana was picked, down the draft. And as far as Walsh goes, people were raving about Walsh because the guys that he was being compared to, meaning his predecessors, were Christ awful. So, people knew that he was going to be good. It's just nobody knew how good he was going to be, and they sort of curbed their enthusiasm until they saw some of it. I mean, Walsh's first 2 years, he was 2-14 and then 6-10. You know, so people weren't going, oh my God, this is the future. In 81, when they started winning every week, people started getting excited about it. But they waited until something meaningful had happened before they did that.
Well, right, but we can't just wait for something meaningful to happen, right? I mean, as we sit here today to have this conversation, like, even as you tell that story, I'm not worried about whether fans are excited about the guy they picked third overall. Hopefully they are, and they should be. What I'm saying is, if we're trying to glean something from a level of raving about a prospect at quarterback, that while I agree lots of prospects get certain amounts of raving, this does seem like an outsized amount of raving, and in certain cases, from pretty credible people who are not so easy to overreact, that, I guess what I'm saying is, isn't that different? And if so, and if we believe that all of these people who are uncharacteristically excited about this young player, if we believe they know a thing or two about football, I understand it doesn't count for any wins or losses in the regular season, but it could be informative, right?
I don't think any of that is informative. I'll be very honest with you, because I think the temptation to rave about what people have decided is the central narrative of this training camp means that everybody is steering every judgment they make for public consumption based on that. Maybe I'm wrong, but until he plays some, or Garoppolo shows he's no longer competent or physically able, I'm not going to get excited about this. You know, I don't need to drive down there and watch him complete 9 of his first 8 passes. He's still the backup. And until he's not in a position where he's not the backup, I'm just not going to jump up and down about it.
No one's asking for jumping up and down, but an acknowledgement of a reality that you want to deny there's something going on. There are respected media members.
There is nothing going on because there's no reality yet. 4 practices is not a reality for an NFL player. And it is okay to wait.
Oh, sure. No one's saying right now, but you probably didn't think the Niners were going to be in the Super Bowl until they were halftime in the Super Bowl. And even then, you probably denied that they could go to the Super Bowl. Like, you just went through all the possibilities of what could be the World Series, and I can't help but notice that you left the Giants completely out of the conversation, even though they have the best record in Major League Baseball. You know, we talked about, you know, I know you hate homers. You hate homers to the point where you've become an awayer. You know, you are insistent upon the hometown failing. This can't happen. When things happen. I guarantee you didn't like the Golden State Warriors winning 3 championships. It really hurt the narrative.
Oh, okay, well, as long as you're offering guarantees on my behalf, fine. But I think it was pretty clear, based on the fact that they, you know, won 67 games that year, that their first championship was a real thing. But I didn't get excited about them on September 28th. That's all I'm saying. You know, a guy who's played, you know, 1 college football game in the last 15 months and has now had 4 practices, you know, maybe he will be great. I just don't have any evidence to support that, and I don't think anybody else does either. All we know is that he's had 4 good practices. That's it.
Sure. Better than 4 bad practices, and I guess if, you know, using
to set the standard.
Well, I would say based on the reaction, it's 4 excellent practices, and I think the standard was set at, let's just hope he looks like someone who's studied the playbook, because again, he's young for an NFL rookie quarterback. He is inexperienced for an NFL rookie quarterback, and there were lots of questions coming into the draft about how well he'd be able to make up for those things. So the fact that he seems to be, A, incredibly well-versed in a complicated system he's never played before, and B, performing at a wildly high level to the point where every single beat writer I have seen has said something about Trey Lance that is more complimentary than anything they have said about any Niner quarterback since I've been here.
And let me just go to another question on the text line saying, what do you guys think about the noise coming out of Chicago on Justin Fields? It takes one completed forward pass to look like you might be the greatest quarterback in the history of the Chicago Bears. Like,
the noise, by the way, still isn't as good as the noise on Trey Lance.
No, it's not. And this is something that is brewing that we will continue to monitor, to say the least. Let's all watch that first preseason game together and get back and figure it all out. But something's happening down there, and it seems to be just a touch ahead of schedule. No matter, even if you had the highest of expectations or no expectations, there are rave reviews.
And even if we can't declare anything definitive about Trey Lance in any way, or say what he's going to be as a quarterback, we've if he is going to be great, it has to start somewhere, and you'd imagine it would look like this.
Bob in San Francisco, you're on 95.7 The Game. Hello.
Hey guys, I love the show. It was a great dialogue going on right there. Anyway, I agree with Ray. I think if any one thing, it's just experience. He's been through this many, many times. Why get excited in training camp? That's my point.
Ray has been through this many, many times? Is that what the caller meant? Ray, well, I think that's interesting then. You said there was not this much excitement about Joe Montana. In your many Niner training camps, can you remember a quarterback that had beat writers and people who cover the team this excited?
This excited? No. Because, again, most of the time, you weren't a rookie, you know, with four practices in, and people were raving this way. So I don't trust the raves. I mean, I'm willing to admit that I'm not getting it. But I'm also not saying that he's not eliminated from being a really good quarterback the first game he plays. But four practices.
I know you're not saying that.
Okay. Well, I don't want to get pushed. Go ahead.
Here's what I don't totally get about what you're saying, right? Is I think there are people that you generally trust as football reporters, right? Who, as you just said, are raving about this quarterback in a way we've never really seen them rave about a rookie quarterback before. But why did we have to not trust the raves as opposed to think that maybe they're onto something?
Because I don't believe that anybody, including coaches, can be onto something after four practices.
Okay.
I think they need to see a lot more, but they're saying all the polite things now. I disregard anything I ever hear from a training camp unless it's news. This isn't news. This is just projections that, boy, he ran a nice practice. Because that's what's been accomplished here so far. And that's not what you grade on. That's all I'm saying. Go ahead.
No, I got a little news for you. It's concerning Jimmy Garoppolo, who just wants to make sure that Fred Warner is showing this team that he's getting his money's worth, or they're getting their money's worth in him. And Jimmy Garoppolo had this kind of funny exchange with Matt Maiocco the other day.
If the defense wasn't picking me off, or if we weren't hitting big plays, you'd be concerned one way or the other. But we've got a little bit of both right now, and that's what, honestly, it makes for a good team. And so just got to keep that thing going.
So you occasionally give the defense a gift just to keep them happy?
Well, I mean, Fred got $95 million. You got to keep him happy somehow, you know?
There you go. And that's what, you know what Jimmy needs to do? Jimmy needs to just keep it light. He needs to keep working hard. He can feel it coming. Notice how, like, I mean, you know, he doesn't have any, like, don't talk to me, I'm QB1 kind of air about him. He's trying to make friends and make sure everyone is still like, hey, Jimmy, Jimmy, Jimmy. And there is no doubt that we're already seeing John Lynch, you know, like, kind of like oversell how good things are going when we see some statistics from practice that says actually they went a lot better for him. But he's telling you that Jimmy's the guy, and I think they're – look, you're right, right? Maybe he is. When will we actually see the trajectories cross? And it might be sooner. It might be later. But to say that, yeah, year one, year two, year three, I think year three is off the board. I don't think we're going to see Trey Lance in year three as a debut. We're going to see wrinkles early. I think he takes snaps week one. As a starter, not likely. Red zone, change up something, Taysom Hill package, if you got nothing better to call it. It feels like we're trending early on in that direction. Give us a Kuminga and a Moses Moody update, if you will. I know it's What If Wednesday, but let me ask you, what if these two guys were first ballot Hall of Famers? Give me a review.
Let's start.
Are we seeing it today? Are we seeing Hall of Fame induction?
Like I said about
today in Sacramento,
half an hour ago, a little good, a little bad. Let's start with Jonathan Kuminga. The good, he had a nice drive with a pretty Euro step through traffic, finishing with a layup. He also had a nice up and under for a lefty lay-in. He had a strong finish over a defender, finishing with a bank shot in the paint. Now, that is the positive for Kuminga. Now, the negative, he airballed 1-3. He airmailed a three-quarter court pass about 10 feet over his teammate's head.
All just met. They're new.
Yeah, he got caught in the air. His first two possessions were the worst part of the night for our new pal, Jonathan Kuminga. He had a drive and was caught in the air, didn't know what to do with it. Defenders all around him, turnover. He also tried to draw a foul on his second touch of the game, went up, tried to draw a foul, and no call, ended up airballing it. But another good news for Jonathan Kuminga. So far seems locked in defensively. At least he's interested.
Moving his feet. Yep. Hands up. Yep. Palms
Guys,
up. Move your feet.
It's like I am literally drawing out the plans in my head for my I Told You So tours about Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah, like
I
exactly.
Just we can go into it more tomorrow, but it's just the little things. What Lucas just recounted explains it perfectly. The three-quarter court pass 6 feet over someone's head is exactly the problem. Like, he's just not sure when to do what, but you can see the polish on some of the skills, and I just totally reject the idea that he can't give you something at some point this season. There's too much talent and skill there for him not to provide some value.
Yeah, he's really on that Smilagic trajectory after
it's
what,
nothing
a quarter
like
and
Smilagic,
a half?
And I think that's what's interesting is if Warrior fans watch this tonight, that's what you'll absolutely immediately notice is that, you know, we can talk about potential and, you know, yes, Jonathan Kuminga is a project and a high ceiling potential low floor pick.
The one
Alan Smilagic was a shot in the dark. There's a difference.
The one piece of actual Warriors news that kind of smacked us right as we were coming on the air today is that the Golden State Warriors have traded Eric Paschal to the Utah Jazz for a second round pick that I believe is Memphis's, or is it the Jazz, or the Memphis Grizzlies are involved in there too. And we don't know if this is just a that's the deal, or if this is going to be the stepping stone to another element of a deal that could involve a third team coming in on a Kelly Oubre sign-in trade that lands them with Joe Ingles. Now that feels like shooting for the moon. Another Warriors rumor, before we get to our Moses Moody update, so have it ready, Lucas. But the other Warriors rumor is that the Sixers have re-engaged or are trying to open up a dialogue, knowing that they're never going to get what they asked for on draft day, if indeed they were asking for all of that on draft day, and they are looking to still maybe get a deal done with Ben Simmons. Now, whether or not they should or shouldn't, whether or not that is or isn't happening, it's one of the things that came across the old timeline today. So we're just passing it along to you. Now, I don't know what to tell you, but Sixers re-engaged in talks with the Warriors is something we actually saw today. Take it or leave it. Give me the Moses Moody experience.
Well, I'll just tell you this. It seems like there was an initiative to from the coaching staff, whoever, to get Jonathan Kuminga and just tell him, go to the basket, because every time he gets the ball, he looks to the basket and goes, and that's why he got caught up in the air early. So Moody, it looks like he's going to be he's probably going to be just more on the perimeter spotting up. Those are the things that we've seen so far. Strong take to the basket. The one time he did actually go to the basket and he was fouled, didn't make the shot, but he made both free throws. He made a corner catch and shoot three, which was really nice. The one downside is that he missed a contested above the break three. So not too much, pretty much what to be expected from both these guys. Asking a lot less of Moses Moody early in this first game, and Kuminga, just give him the ball, let him go.
I think the goals are different. If you're asking, like, what do they want out of Jonathan Kuminga at this summer league, just play ball. Just play ball. And we're going to put you in situations that we feel make you comfortable, and we're going to give you a lot of opportunity. Just play ball and show us what you got. I think the ask of Moses Moody is, let's do the things we're going to do for the Warriors in the regular season. So I think you're going to see they want him focused on defense, on being a spot-up shooter, on occasionally doing some ball handling and distribution, and when he goes to the rim, take it hard and draw fouls. So, you know, it's interesting. Because I think Moody is closer, I think he's in a way asked to do less, but more specifically asked to fill a specific role.
We will ask Lucas to fill the role of questionnaire. We got things to think about. What if on a What If Wednesday? Here on 95.7 The Game. Good stuff, man. We got an awful lot set up to talk about. Massive Giants game tonight. The single most important game in the history of the Warriors franchise is happening in Sacramento. Well, at least the next version of the Warriors franchise. Let's take a little look at this summer league when it's all said and done. Maybe Kevin Dana, isn't he doing the play-by-play and all this stuff? Maybe we can talk to him sometime this week since he is looking at things. We will be back in just a moment to ask bigger, broader, more important questions. So stick around. In the meantime, make sure you've downloaded the Odyssey app. Hundreds of exclusive music stations, sports fan, music stations, everything you need, all the moods that you're in, Odyssey app. And in the meantime, Damon Ratto and Kolsky, here on 95.7 The Game, we are brought to you by the Boston Beer Company.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
All right, before we get into what if I told you that tonight Chris Bryant is not in the Giants lineup? It's the truth. He is not, but guess what? Playing third base, we see Tommy La Stella back in the Giants lineup tonight. We also have the news that Tony DeSclafani is going on the IL, but don't hold your breath. There's nothing really wrong. It's more of a just buying him a turn off in the rotation just to rest him up a little bit, little shoulder fatigue, but they're not worried about it at all. So there you go. Big game tonight in the desert. Kevin Gausman against Zach Gallen, who is a lot better than his 1-5, 4.61 ERA kind of says he is. Zach Gallen, other than Bumgarner, is probably the only real decent major league pitcher that the Diamondbacks are going to throw at the Giants. So this is a big game tonight, especially with Max Scherzer making his Dodgers debut in L.A. against the Astros. So lots of baseball tonight. Big stuff. And, yeah, let's not worry about the score right now. Go Kuminga, go Moody. Anything on all the news of the day before we start getting into the silly stuff, gentlemen?
Josh Johnson's signed with his 20th team.
Who's now?
The Jets, second time for them.
That's just a warm security blanket.
It's the best story going. I mean, nobody has come close to that. And it's important that you note that at least 8 of those times, he never got out of practice gear. But he got contracts enough to pay him $7 million from those 20 teams.
Beat a camp arm. Guy's made a career of it.
As Peter King said, like, there's actually a backup job up for grabs there, so it might be more this time.
No third quarterback backup gig will be available. Apparently, Nate Sudfeld is poised to earn that number 3 due to the Eric Branch report we saw on Twitter today. So,
hey,
I can't believe it took us this long to get to that news.
Nate Sudfeld got a coach fired. It's more than can be said for just about anybody else last year.
Let's do it. Give me a what if.
What if I told you hindsight is always 20/20?
The Minnesota Timberwolves select Stephen Curry.
That everything happens for a reason.
With the first selection in the 2005 NFL draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Aaron Rodgers, quarterback to California.
What if I told you it's time for What If Wednesday on Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky.
What you got, Lucas?
One more note on this summer league game. Eric Paschal looks like the best athlete on the court. Or not Eric Paschal. Wow. Jonathan Kuminga looks like the best athlete on the court, and it's not particularly close. Now to my first story.
Freudian slip.
Story.
You already missed Pasch.
I was getting to Eric Paschal in our story. That's right. It was a Freudian slip. Trading Eric Paschal saved the Warriors and Joe Lake about $12 million. For now, Kolsky, I know that we talked about this. For now, so it saved about $12 million thanks to the repeater tax. So my question is, what if you were Joe Lacob or an NBA owner? Would you rather keep Eric Paschal for that $12 million, even though it was a $1.7 million contract, play him about 10, 15 minutes a night, maybe a little more on certain nights, or buy a private island for $12 million?
I guess, where is this private island? How tropical is my everyday existence, or are we like taking an island off of the Puget Sound?
Well, and
That's nice too.
No, it's extremely tropical. We checked.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anywhere you want, really. Fiji, can I interest you? Uganda in Africa, if you want to go
now,
there.
Now, they're small islands.
Yeah.
These are small islands for $12 million, but they are private islands, and they are in tropical, wonderful places.
I think if we're looking for an oceanic $12 million existence, I'm more in the yacht business than I am the private island business because, one,
oh, wow.
How are you going to get to the private island? That's a chartered flight both ways. probably need a seaplane because it's a private. Is there a place to even dock? Does it have plumbing? Do we have electricity? I mean, it's a starter island. I don't know if I want a starter island. I want a nice, easy to move into island. I think I'm going to go $12 million yacht, which is nowhere near the $200 million yacht that I guess Jerry Jones is enjoying these days. But I would just, I don't know about that private island. It feels like way too much setup for me. I'm going to be a lazy billionaire.
And with global warming, there's no guarantee that the island will be there in 5 years.
True. Negative way to approach the concept of private island, but true. There's that to worry about.
You know what? Soil erosion knows nothing about privacy.
No.
Yeah. All right.
Where are you coming down?
I think I still take the island.
You're taking the island?
Yes, sir. I like an island. Eric Paschal was of almost no use to my team last year, and you just gave me an island. Now, to be fair, if I was actually a billionaire NBA owner, I'd just take both because I can clearly afford both. But if I had to choose, unless you're giving me somebody more productive, I'm sitting on the beach.
Would you make it sexy? Would you call it like Isla Del Koski?
No, I call it Paschal Island, you know, in honor of Eric.
It was one or the other. So, yeah, welcome to the land of Villanova. We got better ideas. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. We want to thank our guests, Nick Friedel and Ian Williams. We want to thank Erosion. We want to thank all of the over breathless analysis that we will do of a summer league game tomorrow. So be ready for that. And big baseball tonight. So plenty to come back talking about tomorrow. Thank you very much for listening to today, which was a What If Wednesday. Nice job, Lucas. Nice job, Grandy Maldonado. For Ray, for Matt, for Private Islands Everywhere, I'm Damon. Sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.